T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Let's go, let's get it on! Oh, Peters!
Hey, got a fake Thornton and Rabe are exchanging punches.
Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Ah, the quarantine life. Everyone doing their shows through their Skypes or FaceTimes or whatever we got going on with technology. Good morning, fellas.
Morning.
Riv?
Is it getting old, you think?
No, it's just getting started, baby.
Just getting started, okay.
You know my attitude. I always try to rock the positive attitude. Hey, Marty. How are you today?
Good morning. I figured it's hard when we all talk together, so I'm going to wait until I'm being told that the air is all mine. So, you have to do a good job in controlling me today.
Hey, Riv, how long do you think that lasts?
I don't know. I'll give it first 5 minutes.
Oh, I agree too. Marty, who won that game last night?
Did you watch till the end?
No, I saw I was at 1-1 and I was like, you think that in quarantine, drama in your life shuts off too, but it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't.
I had stuff I had to deal with, all right? And if we could swear, boys, I wouldn't have stopped right now.
Okay, can I, I'll tell you, the Sabres lost 5-4 to the New York Rangers on that game to start the season in Manhattan at MSG.
Probably best being in New York, right, with the circumstances.
Oh, Sabres were up 3-1. PD, we were up 3-1 with, four minutes left in the second. And then we gave up a goal to make it 3-3 in the last second of the second period. And then Brian Leach scored the overtime goal. I'll tell you this. The game was fun to watch. Eric Lindros, Tyrone Fleury, Mark Messier, Michael Groshek was with the Rangers. You look at the Sabres, Stu Barnes, JP Dumont. There was so many big names that was fun to watch. But more importantly, they showed in the whole pregame ceremony with the New York Fire Department, NYPD on the ice. One guy was honored, and he was in the destruction, basically, of the World Trade Center. He was, like, under rubbles for 4 or 5 hours before they found him, and then he was honored at center ice. So it was really cool to see the ceremony.
You ever see that movie, Trade Tower, I think it is, with Nicolas Cage?
No, I've never seen that.
No. What am I talking about? Trade Tower. World Trade Center, it's called.
Okay, no, I haven't.
You haven't seen it?
Nope.
Well, if you can get through that movie without crying, I'd love to hear your story. That is, go check that out. That's on Netflix.
I'll go check it out, absolutely. And then, PD,
I can't watch it again. It's a one-timer. That's like a Alex Ovechkin one-timer from the slot. You can't watch that again because it's unnerving. It's upsetting. It's just absolutely, it's terrible. But it's a great ending. don't want to spoil it for anyone. Like, but I mean, all circumstances considered, it's a great ending. But it's an unbelievable story, and it's a true story.
I'll try to watch it over the weekend. One thing, PD, I'll let you know, and the fans, let them know that the game that was aired last night will be on the Sabres YouTube channel at noon today. So if you haven't seen it, or if you wanted to just rewatch the pregame ceremony to honor the heroes of 9/11, it was very cool at MSG. And then you can fast forward and just see the end of the game, watch the overtime, and see Brian Leetch score the game-winning goal and the celebration on the ice after.
How about the star power on those in that game last night? It was mind-boggling when you sat there and you watched, and you're trying to figure out like who's on each team, and you're just mind-boggled with how much scoring is on the one team. It was amazing.
Rivs, you know what the Rangers' record was that year?
I don't.
I'll tell you what it was. They were two games under 500. I believe it was 36, 38, and 4, or something to that matter. I want to say we played 80. Maybe we didn't play that many games. But anyway, they were two games under 500, I saw on the – I think we played 84 games that year. I think they were 34, 36, and 4, something like that. I don't know. But anyway, they – you look at it, and they were just a bunch of big names, overpriced players that they tried to put together. That's how the New York Rangers tried to do things in the late 90s, early 2000s, before the salary cap. They were just trying to buy players. They have Peter Nedved. They had Brian Berard was just signed with the Rangers, and obviously we all know Berard, who had lost an eye earlier in his career, was still a good player, but nowhere near where he could have been with a perfect vision. They were just a high-priced, high big name type of roster, and they never really got any success.
Brian Berard.
Yeah.
I mean, are you kidding me? I watched this guy in junior because my brother was playing for the Thunder. So I was following the OHL very closely as a kid, and Brian Berard was an absolute super stud. Super stud. Hey, was he Rookie of the Year, Marty, when he was in Long Island?
Oh, I don't know. See,
he had like 40 points or in his rookie year, 41 points or something. I'm going to look him up. I know you're probably doing that too, Marty. Fact checker.
Well, here's the thing. So Brian Berard was drafted by the Ottawa Senators. Wade Redden was drafted by the New York Islanders. Neither of those two made the team after the 95 draft. So later that year, they were traded for one another. Berard was traded to the New York Islanders, and Redden was traded to the Ottawa Senators, which was weird because you really like somebody, and 6 months later, you say, hey, I don't like him anymore. I'm going to trade him for the other guy.
How is that even possible, Marty? You have Ottawa that's picking second overall. The Islanders are picking first overall. 6 months after the draft, they literally swap the first and second overall pick. I don't understand how that even happens.
I want to say, and you're right, PD, Brian Berard did win the Calder Trophy in 96-97, so he was something special. But my thinking, and I remember something that Berard did not want to play in Ottawa of some sort, if there was maybe some conflict there, and the Islanders said to the Ottawa Senators, we'll take him and we'll give you Wade Redden. I remember something like this. I'd have to look it back and really get the story. But, you know, we talk about now the first overall pick and the second overall pick. They're NHL players. They have to break the roster. You know, you sign a player out of college. Well, he's going to play in the NHL. How about you pump the brakes? This year, that year, 95, the draft for the 95-96 season, neither of the first overall and the second overall player played in the National Hockey League that year.
I can't believe you're even saying this, because I was literally just thinking about that as we were speaking, as we were talking about this, was that he went back to junior after he went number one overall.
Yeah, so it's – look, I get when you're a Rasmus Dahlin and, you know, you've already played pro hockey in Sweden because it's a different situation – But in North America, a junior player that gets drafted first, maybe second overall, like, it's not a guarantee that you want him to be playing right away. Sam Reinhart went back to juniors. I mean, you have to take every draft pick as their individual story there.
Yeah, I understand that, Marty, but we're talking 25 years ago. The player of today is nowhere near the player of 1995 being drafted first overall. The players of today are more, they're ready. They're more ready now than what they've ever been because the training is completely different for these young players.
Okay, well, let me ask you this about and we'll get, by the way, speaking of star-studded, we have a star-studded show today. I can't believe I didn't mention this. Jake McCabe's going to join us at 10:30. The usual suspect at 11:30. We got Darren Dreger. Just got to mention that. So we have lots to talk about there. There's the NHL, the conference call among the players. You guys were very hot on that this morning. We'll talk about that too. But what did you want to say, Marty?
After you're done, I want to be able to rebuttal on Craig Rivet right here.
Oh, I'm just about to go back to that. This in the business is called setting up the show. I'm 9 minutes okay. late on that.
Okay.
I'm nine minutes late to my job, okay?
Okay, good.
Would you guys, the coffee's just kicking in now. Would you guys allow me to try to function around here, please? All right. So anyway, now that I got that out of the way, go ahead, Marty.
Okay. I think every year is different, Riffs. You've got guys like, you know, Jack Hughes, who's coming out of the USNTDP, that, yeah, tons of talent, maybe, for him to be able to play a year of college or to go over to Europe and play pro in Europe for 1 year could have been beneficial. But I'm going to go back to 20, 30 years ago. First overall picks. And you're going to tell me that those guys weren't super stud? Let's start in 1988. Let's start in 1987 with the Buffalo Sabres. Pierre Turgeon, super stud. 88, Mike Modano, Matt Sundin, Owen Nolan, Eric Lindros, Roman Hamrlik, Alexander Degg, Ed Jovanovski, Brian Berard, Chris Phillips, Joe Thornton, Vinny LeCavalier. I mean, these are the type of players that you're seeing with the Nathan MacKinnon and the Connor McDavid and the Austin Matthews and the Steven Stamkos and Patty Kane. They're the same thing. All I'm saying is that it's not because you're drafted first overall that you're guaranteeing a place on the roster the next year. Every year is different. And maybe a guy like... Go ahead, Petey.
No, according to my my reading here, the only first overall picks I see so far that maybe could have gone back for a little more seasoning is it starts at Brian Lawton, maybe Gordy Kluzak, and Dougie Wickenheiser. But other than that, they all fit. That's all the way back to 1980.
No, I think, I said, look at Neil Yakupov could have probably gone back and gotten a little seasoning. But the Edmonton Oilers were so like, hey, we just got Taylor Hall, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and now we got Neil Yakupov. We have to get all of our first-round pick in the lineup. He could have gone back.
Did you mention Ed Jovanovski went back for another year to Windsor?
Did he? Okay, well, yeah, here you go. Jovocop.
That was my brother's rookie year in the OHL, and I remember Jovanovski came in and absolutely buried about three or four guys. Ribs, listen to these stats. 50 games, 23 goals, 42 assists, 198 penalty minutes in the O where they don't count tens.
Oh, the O. It's not like the Q, that's for sure.
Marty, let me rebuttal your Neil Yakupov stance here.
Yeah.
Neil Yakupov, his first year in the OHL, in 65 games, had 49 goals, 101 points as a 16-year-old, Marty.
Yeah.
The very next year, he got drafted first overall to the Edmonton Oilers. He had 69 points in 42 games, 31 goals. You're going to tell me that this kid should not be playing in the National Hockey League?
Here's the thing, Rivs. Neil Yakupov was a 5'11", 180-pound like player back then, playing junior hockey, okay? And he got drafted in 2012. We had a lockout at the start of the 2012-2013 season. Yes, he went to the KHL and played a little bit in the KHL, but
What did he have as a 17-year-old in the KHL, Marty?
He was 18 by that point. Let's not fool ourselves. He had turned 18 by that point. He got drafted in the NHL, so he had turned 18 by that point.
Okay, go ahead.
Had 10 goals in 22 games in the KHL.
Okay? 10 goals, 18 points in 22 games in the KHL.
It's the KHL, Ribs. It's Marty, the KHL.
Marty, you obviously have no idea about the European hockey leagues. Go and look at all of the guys who have played in the European, whether it's Sweden, Finland, the Swiss, or the KHL. All of their statistics are lower, and then they come over to the NHL and they blow things up.
Okay,
I honestly believe they don't all do that. No idea
about the KHL or European leagues, Riv.
Ribs. What's the better league in the world? They don't play. The reason why a guy like, do you say, Olofsson didn't have great stats in the Swedish Elite League is because he was younger, and then he plays at 25, 26, 27, 28 in the National Hockey League and has great stats because he's got the talent. I'm not saying that Neil Yakupov should have been a guaranteed play more times in the minors. But when you look at the history of what this player has done, his maturity level at the time, he was the one doing the interview after the World Juniors game. He says, we keep beating Canada. It was like, this guy's maturity level was not ready for the National Hockey League, and that's plain and simple.
Rave, question for you. Do you think, obviously hindsight's 2020, right? Like you cannot, but do you think Joe Thornton's first year in the league helped him or hurt him, held him back? I know he went off and took off and had some really good years and like a couple years after.
What was his first year, Petey?
I don't even need to look it up.
97, 98?
He had 7 points in 55 games.
What about Steven Stamkos? Barry Melrose ripped him apart.
But I'm not even going to look up Stamkos, but didn't Stamkos have like 20-something goals his rookie year?
He had 25, but he literally had 5 goals in the first 40 games of the year.
He had 5
and
goals
in the second
Christmas.
40 games, he had like 20 goals.
He had 23 goals his first year, Stamkos, and then he broke out with 51 the next season. Yeah, but Stamkos is not the type of player I'm talking about. I'm talking about more the borderline guys. You know, the Nico Ischier maybe of this world, who's a Swiss player who came over and played in the Q, and, you know, although had a lot of skill, but it wasn't a fantastic draft when Nico Ischier got drafted. Obviously, Nolan Patrick was number 2 to Philadelphia. It wasn't like it was McDavid Eichel or, you know, like Matthews and McKinnon and those guys, John Tavares and Victor Hedman. It's not the same thing. I think there's certain drafts that the guys have to go back.
Yeah, well, if you could rewind time, do you not think the New Jersey Devils might have tried to find a better fit for Jack Hughes this year? That was a terrible situation for him.
Absolutely.
Like, and where's his options? Would he have gone to college?
Do what Jack did, but it would be reversed. He was already drafted. Jack wasn't drafted.
Yeah, because so Jack was a late birthday.
Yes, but what I'm saying is go pick a college. Go pick the best college. Go try to win a national championship. Sign at the end of the year. Come play in the minors, or not even the minors. Come play for New Jersey. But go play a year somewhere against some bigger. This guy's little.
Yeah, but PD, here's the agent's point here. Let's sign our contract. It's in the pocket. We already have 1 year gone. You're going to be 1 year closer to arbitration, 1 year closer to free agency. There's so many things that the business side comes into play. But this is why, and that's the last thing I'll say about the draft. I would really like the draft to be pushed 1 year, drafting 19-year-old kids, and give them a chance to develop more, because you're rushing a lot of these kids. And there is one or two super players that can play at 18 years old in the National Hockey League, well, maybe you open the first round to 18-year-olds, but the rest of the draft is a 19-year-old draft. And if you're 18 and you don't get drafted and you don't want to play college and you don't want to play junior, go and sign in the Swedish Elite League. Go to Europe. Go play a year of pro hockey. Let's see how that works out, because there's a reason why you're not ready for the National Hockey League.
I, for the first time in my entire life, agree with what Marty Baron just said. I 100% agree that this draft should be pushed back 1 year. 100%.
Oh, can I ask you guys something? Can I go to the extreme?
Yes.
I mean, you know why NFL players step out of college and go right to the NFL? Because they're 22, 23, 24.
Yep.
They're already young men. Like, they're much more mature. They spent 3 years at college. They've been training every day. They've been training at a high level. You know, like, you can't go and tell me that the Super Bowl champs versus the national champs wouldn't mop the floor, right? So there is a significant difference in the play. But the difference is the age. These guys are coming in much more mature. There's a big difference between a 22-year-old and an 18-year-old. There's a big difference between a 23, 24-year-old to a 19, 20-year-old. So why are we not forcing these kids to start going and playing 2 years of college
and guess seeing what
they're, seeing they're what they're really made of, and then select players that are ready to step right into your minor, so you can even build your minor league team out of the draft.
Yeah. And, you know, there's going to be players just like you alluded to, football, but you're going to have players like Tremaine Edmonds, that he was a freak. Did he not play in the NFL at 19 years of age?
Yep.
Like, that's unheard of. I mean, but when you look at this man's physical body, he was completely off the chart. You just don't see that type of stuff. And he's special. That being said, I think in hockey, I think the draft is too early. There's still kids that are developing physically, or they're all developing physically, but some are way beyond others. Like, you look at Kaapo Kakko this year, he's 6'2", 209 pounds. You look at Jack Hughes, he's 5'11 and 165 pounds. It looks like he's got strings hanging from his shorts.
Okay, but sometimes, like, look at Patrick Kane. Patrick Kane was a little guy too, but mentally, he was a different person, player mentally. You know, like, he was.
Yeah, but Patrick Kane was playing where?
The O.
And, well, yeah, I mean, he's playing in London, right?
Yes.
And London, what they do is they prepare you for the National Hockey League. It's a pro team with junior players. It's different. Jack Hughes was playing NTDP. NTDP is preparing kids to go to college. It's not preparing them to go to the National Hockey League. And it's one of the top programs for the junior age players in the nation, but it's not preparing them to go to the National Hockey League.
Take Kaapo Kakko, Rib. You just brought him up. Take him. I'm looking at him right now. 6'3", 199. That was his. Now, he has 23 points in 66 games with the Rangers. Minus 26. I don't know if it matters. Might help my argument, so I'm going to use it. But my point is, you don't think this guy, the Rangers could have said, go play a year of major junior or something like that, like, go play a more North American style of game and dominate, obviously dominate, and then step in next year. Like, he's not a difference maker on the Rangers right now.
Petey, he scored 22 goals, 38 points in 45 games in an extremely competitive Finnish pro league. That is extreme. If you get 38 points in 45 games, you are a stud.
Right, but look at Victor Olofsson. And I'm not comparing Olofsson to Kakko. I'm comparing pro hockey snipers in Europe to North America. It's a much different game. It really, like, I can't speak to it from a goal scorer's perspective, but I played in Europe, and I've watched these guys come over. The greatest thing to happen to Victor Olofsson was Rochester last year. As much as we thought we could have seen him here, play him. He's tearing up the American League. The patience helped him succeed this year to be on pace for 30 goals. Like, I'm not saying
all I'm saying is Victor Olofsson plays for Frölunda of the Swedish Elite League. The Swedish Elite League is a very, very talented league. He had 27 goals in 50 games, 43 points. He comes over here to North America. He goes to the minors. He has 30 goals in 66 games.
Did he not have to adjust? Didn't he struggle?
No.
Yeah, he did at the start. He didn't have a great start.
I think he had a great start.
Are you on drugs?
He had a middle, yeah, but
he had a really bad stretch.
Yeah, but also Rivs.
He was the leading point producer in the league for the first 15 games.
Yes. Yeah, but Rivs, Victor Olofsson, was 23 in Rochester. Kaapo Kakko is 18 in the National Hockey League and 19 in the National Hockey League. That I agree with Petey. You probably I agree with Petey in the fact that I think Kaapo Kakko could have benefited from, you know, you watch him in camp and maybe you watch him the first 7, 8, 9 games and you say, he needs to develop in the American League, go down to Hartford, play for the Wolfpack, and dominate at the AHL level before you come back. I think teams are almost scared at times to be honest with a young player. We saw it with Mittelstadt. Like, I think it was like almost like we don't want to tell him, no, you're not coming straight to Buffalo. You just played your first year of college hockey, and 2 years ago you were in high school. Go play in the American League and learn there, and then we'll see next year. I think teams are put in a tough situation by agents at that time.
So let me ask you this, Marty.
Yep.
So you've watched one of our own. You've watched a kid that was drafted 7th overall. He's got the size. He's got the skating. He has everything that you need to be successful in the National Hockey League. He's produced for multiple years in junior. What do you do with Cousins next year?
With Dylan Cousins?
Yeah.
You're going to tell me he's
going to go back for another year?
Well, it's either he has to go back or he has to play in Buffalo. There's no other options for him. So that is a situation where it becomes what is more beneficial to the development of the player. I don't make a decision in April on Dylan Cousins. I'm going to say, okay, let's see what happens. Development camp. Let's see how much bigger, stronger he comes in at training camp. How is he going to do in training camp? How is he doing in, maybe the first few games of the regular season? Now you make a decision at that moment. I don't think you need to make a decision now on him.
We know how he's going to do in training camp. We all know right now he's going to come in and shred it up, okay? And we're going to be sitting here saying, you got to keep it, got to keep him, got to keep him. And are you telling me to go to break, Riv, or are you mad that we have to go to break because you're loving this conversation?
No, I'm looking at Jay.
Jay. Jay, you are a new man. But anyway, back to Cousins, okay? All I'm going to say is you're going to have that tough decision where you might, like, you're going to want to keep him, and the pressure is going to be there to keep him. But if you go and get a second-line center for Risto and a draft pick or something or whatever else it takes, and you still have Mittelstadt, you don't need to rush Cousins in. I love
to break. Go to break because we need to continue this talk. There's no question about it.
We can't after this because we have Jake McKay, but I'll tell you what. Write this down, Rip. Write it down. Don't slam the book down. Write this down that this is our conversation at 11. Then we'll have Dreger at 11:30. Okay. We're going to break. Jake McCabe coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, Instigators, quarantine mode here. Got Marty and Jay Harris and Craig Rive on my computer screen. It's a beautiful sight in the morning, I'll tell you that. So we welcome everybody in. I don't know if Jake's on the line just yet. Oh, Jake is on the line. Jake McCabe joining the show. Jake, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. Probably just hanging out.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of a stupid question, eh? Like, what's going on?
The question is, have you done your workout yet?
I have not worked out today yet, no.
Have you worked out at all?
I have, in fact, been working out, but I actually just got back to Chicago. That's where me and my wife spend the off season, and luckily I have a spin bike here, but I've been doing a decent amount of running outside too, to just to get outside and get a little workout in. It's been nice.
Hey, Jake, let me ask you this. Some players around the league are getting like Zoom workouts where they FaceTime or Zoom conference their trainers and personal trainers at home or whatnot. Are you doing any of that, or are you just taking matters in your own hand and doing what feels right?
No, I'm just taking matters in my own hands. I think once you work out enough, you got enough exercises in your arsenal that you can do at home and whatnot. So I got a little space here that I can do my lunge series, my hip stuff, and a bike ride, and whatever else I need to do. So it's I can handle it myself.
Is it hard? Is it like? And I mean that from the standpoint of like
motivating yourself.
Oh, that's right. Yes, thank you, Craig. Craig, the college guy, motivate yourself.
I think some days probably a little tougher than others, just because of the uncertainty with this whole thing. It's kind of a very weird weird time to be alive, really. When you sit at home and do nothing all day, it's pretty easy to get a workout in, because then you can actually get a little sweat and do something different than just sit on the couch or clean around the house. So it hasn't been too bad to get motivated for it.
Are you tempted to do any of these stupid videos we're seeing? I feel, Jake, that the longer this thing goes, the more and more stupid videos we're going to see from people.
Oh, my gosh, Petey.
What are you talking about, Petey?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Let Jake answer the question. As far as social media goes, like the push-up challenge, and I don't know what else I've seen, but
no, TikTok he's talking about. TikTok. He's talking about the TikTok.
And the kid's gonna be dancing around, Jake, in front of the fireplace, getting ready for the routine. Jake,
Petey,
are you dancing around the living room, videotaping yourself and sending it out?
I think you know more about TikTok than I do, apparently. Because I have not been paying
attention. That's what I'm talking about right there. Have you been talking to any of the boys on the team, Zooming or Skype or whatever you use? Any communication with the boys on the team?
Yeah, we got our text group going and talking to those guys a little bit here and there. It's just, there's really not a whole lot to catch up on, right? Everyone's just kind of sitting at home and holding a pattern, really. But I think, all the Euros got home safe, which was good. That was, everything's been, I think it's been 2 weeks. What is it, Friday? So, yeah, it's been 2 weeks. I've been pretty much in quarantine. 2 weeks ago, we just got back from Montreal. So it's pretty crazy how fast this is all going.
Hey, how was it in Montreal that night, Jake, when you guys found out that the NBA was canceling? So that was the Wednesday night. You guys are getting ready to play Thursday in Montreal. How did it all go down, and what was the word between the players about playing the next day?
Yeah, once you saw that the NBA got canceled, everyone kind of figured that there's no way we were probably playing that game the next day. And I think at that time, San Jose just announced they're playing without fans. So you could kind of see the writing on the wall as far as how this was all going to play out. So it was only a matter of time before we knew that, that NBA was just the first of obviously all the major sports just kind of following suit. And really, that kind of created this whole stay-at-home thing, I feel like, was once the pro sports was done, everyone kind of realized how serious this was.
I guess what I wanted just to know, and maybe I needed to drive you there, is did you guys call downstairs for some cold brews and just hang out in somebody's room and talk about what was going to happen the next day?
No, it was pretty late, actually, I feel like, when they announced it. But I will say I had a couple of beers at
Liar.
The next day. When I wish I wasn't lying, to be honest.
You don't have to call down for beers when you can drink the whole mini bar.
That's right up your alley, hey Petey.
And the gummy bears they had in the bear thing, the bear jar,
the cashews.
Hey, and the chocolate.
The cashews never got touched. The Pringles, the candy bars, and the gummy bears were, and then obviously whatever those little bottles were inside.
Whatever you can get your hands on.
What are you doing now? Like anything that you're watching on TV? Like we just, talk every morning here between Rivs and Petey and I, and we were talking about Tiger King a couple of days ago. Now Ozark season 3 is coming out. What's your little TV program that you're watching now?
Me and my wife just finished the Tiger King yesterday, I believe. Pretty pretty wild series. It got more and more messed up the longer you watch. I really just couldn't believe some of the things that were coming out of those people's mouths.
I watched 3 episodes of that last night. I have my last episode tonight. Do not tell me what happened, but what a messed up individual. All those guys.
Yeah. It's just a bunch of cults. It's crazy.
Yep.
Petey, take it over, bud. You're like,
I spooned a tiger in Thailand. I went to one of these tiger things. I would not like these ones. These ones are in Florida because I Rib asked me to watch the show, so I checked out episode 2 last night. But when I was in Thailand, I did a whole tiger exhibit. I went the cubs, the mid-sized ones, and then the big guys. And I don't know, Like I should be an animal rights activist. The guy was like hammering the thing on the nose with a bamboo stick to like back off. And I'm just kind of like, hey guy, have you tried that on yourself yet? Like, do you know how that feels? But anyway,
that's tough.
It's just weird to see all these tigers running around in cages. It just, I don't know, but I'm into it. But what else are you watching, Jake?
What else are we watching? We've been bouncing around a little bit.
Are you good on toilet paper? Like that's kind of the number one concern in America right now. And
actually, my wife got me a bidet a couple summers ago for Valentine's Day.
We got a bidet user. Wow.
And that's the game changer. I mean, as you guys know, in Montreal, that's how it all starts. Everyone discovers the bidet in Montreal. At the Ritz. And now,
Ritz doesn't know the hotel in Montreal, Jake, but the Ritz-Carlton in Montreal has the heating toilet and the oscillating jet sprays. It's a high-end toilet in Montreal you're talking about.
Hey, Jake.
Yeah.
Riv, in North Bay, those things are called bidets.
Bidets.
Yeah. You're an idiot, man.
I don't know where to go from there, Jake. How's the bidet working?
Right,
because my day got really bad yesterday when I finished my last 2-ply roll. I'm down to 1-ply now only, and that's, I got to tell you. Those are bad days, Jake.
Well, I think you maybe need to start investing in a bidet. Maybe look online.
I'm going to look online at a bidet, and I'm going to price out a bidet right now.
It might end up saving you in the long term. Who knows how much toilet paper is going to cost in a little couple months here when they're on a shortage.
Well, let me ask you this. What's the occasion for a bidet gift? Is it a anniversary gift? Is it a birthday gift? Is it a...
I think it's a gift whenever, especially once you're married, I think you're always looking for ideas when a special occasion arises, so.
Is it okay to gift a bidet after an individual's been sick and spending a lot of time in the toilet? Is this like the right time when you've had a bout with maybe some stomach flu?
Yeah, I think it's always always a thoughtful gift, no matter who you gift it to personally.
Jake, can I ask you a question?
Let's hear it.
How do you spell bidet?
B-I-D-E-T.
That was impressive.
Okay, so you can get a bidet. They can be anywhere from $299 to like $3,000 and beyond.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Or you could have the free one. You just take your butt cheeks over to the sink, splash a little water.
And that is a North Bay bidet right there. That is a North Bay bidet. Jake, thank you for the time today, buddy.
Yeah, I'm glad I could spice up your guys' convo. I'm sure you're running out of topics to talk about.
You know what? I got to tell you, you're the first NHL player I've ever heard the word bidet come out of their mouth. So it's a fine day for me.
I'm not ashamed of it, especially when there's a shortage of toilet paper out there.
Don't be. You might have just changed a lot of people's lives.
I love it.
Good right, stuff, Jake. Take care, Jake, and enjoy. Hope to see you guys back on the ice soon.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
That was funny, Petey.
Oh.
And I'll tell you this. So I was with the Rangers. We went to Montreal, stayed at the new hotel. These were $5,000 toilets that were in the hotel. And there's like a fan attached to a toilet. There's like the cleaning option. You can heat them up so in the morning you go and the seat's nice and warm. That was the talk of the locker room.
Did it have fluorescent lights on it?
No, it did not have the lighting.
You got cheapers in them.
But it was the talk of the locker room the next day. Everybody's like, did you not try that toilet? And it sprays and it goes front to back. It does all these things. We were like, what the heck is going on here?
It's called a sprinkler.
Exactly. Like, you know, now with cell phones, like you can spend a half an hour on the toilet because you're on your cell phone playing games. You imagine if that toilet is warm and has all these options, you're going to be lost 2-3 hours a day on the toilet.
Oh, man.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Bidet. What a bidet.
What a bidet. Absolutely.
What a bidet this has become. Thank you, Jake McCabe, for the laughs. We got to come back, Marty. You have this or that ready to rock and roll when we return?
Absolutely.
All right. Riff, I got to go. I got to go get centered after what you just said. The visual is painful. We'll see everybody back here after the break.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Okay, welcome back to the Instigators. I want to thank Jake McCabe for taking the time. It's always fun to have less of a serious conversation. And for those who didn't get to hear our bidet conversation, it was it was pretty good. Thank you, Petey, for leading us to the bidet conversation when asking about toilet paper. That was fantastic.
I have a confession.
What?
I've never used a bidet. Carry on. I've never used a bidet.
There was a bidet in my house in New York when I rented a house there when I played for the Rangers, and I think I used it once just to see what it was like. But I'm a good old, like, toilet paper person. So, listen, let's move on to this or that. We're not going to say this or that, toilet paper or bidet. That would be way too easy. But this one here is a great this or that in this time that we're dealing with right now. And it comes from Kevin. Kevin from Kevin James. We miss both Kevin and James. I haven't seen them in 3 weeks or whatnot. But he put it on the on our rundown the other day. Are you watching TV on the couch or the recliner? This or that, couch or recliner? What's the best way to watch TV right now?
If I had a recliner, I would say recliner, but I don't have a recliner, so I'm going to have to go with couch.
Same.
Okay. I like the couch because you can change your position. You can go sideways. You can go, you know, straight up. The recliner, there's really only one position, but I'd like to mix it up. So I don't have the recliner either. So I just wanted to know what you guys were doing. The other day was my daughter's birthday. And, you know, before, you know, before the coronavirus pandemic started hitting, her idea was to go out for surf and turf. She loves surf and turf, and she just turned 10. So we ended up making surf and turf at home for her for a birthday dinner. It made me think, are you more of a surf or more of a turf type of guy? So surf and turf, this or that?
I'm all turf, baby.
You're all the beef? That's it? Like, you're not a seafood guy?
Not at all. I think seafood's disgusting.
I am definitely a surf and turf. Love shrimp. Love lobster. Giddy up.
So you're a surf.
What is that green gooey stuff?
I want to surf and turf.
The lobster.
I'm saying surf or turf.
Oh,
yes or that.
Bloody hell, Marty. I'm gonna have to go with the beef then. I'm gonna have to go with the turf.
Petey, I believe that the green stuff is. I'm not a big fan of it, but I guess the people that really like the lobsters, that's like a
delicacy.
It's the, I don't know what it is. It's basically the inside, but they all love it. Okay, so this next one, guys, it happens when you get a little older. So I went, you know, I'm started working out, by the way, and I've run my, you know, I run every day and do my little circuit at home. And on the very first day that I went for a run, I come home, do my circuit, then take a shower. And then I went to put my pants, and I was getting cramps. Every time I tried to put my right leg in, because I'm a right leg in first type of guy, I was getting a cramp. I couldn't put my pants on. So I tried to put my left leg in first, and then my right, and it felt so weird. So I'm asking you this or that, are you a right or left pant leg first?
Def, I had to think about it. I'm a right leg first guy.
Okay, so today?
I don't even think you can put your left leg in first.
I'm asking you to try. I'm asking you to try today.
Give me a second.
He's going to go try it. Petey. Are you a left or a right leg first?
So I'm a right everything. So when
let's take it all back.
Even when I played, I was right skate, right shin pad, not all at once. Like right skate, right shin pad, left shin pad. Like if I put my jock on, right leg first, pants on, right leg first. So this one time in Philadelphia when I was a rookie in Rochester, yeah. My skate lace broke or something on my plate. I needed something fixed. My rivet popped, so I had to put my left skate on first. This is superstition. Someone asked me the other night on Twitter about superstition. I had to put my left skate on first. I get ran from behind. I tear my pectoral muscle. So it's real. It's not superstition. It's just real. So I put my pant leg on right leg at a time like everybody else.
And you make gold records.
What I do.
Okay, Rivs, you take it all back. What's that?
I'm taking it all back. I put my left leg in first. I thought I put my right leg in, and then I had to get up and actually simulate me putting on my pants.
Petey, does that remind you of wait a minute, when you skate, which arm goes forward at the same time as the other one? Remember when Rivs couldn't remember how to skate and which arm goes forward as you're taking a stride, and we had to teach him in the office?
Yes, just a small Rivism, as we call them.
That is a small Rivism. Last one before we go to break. You see the guys posting videos of their workouts at home. You know, you see Kovalchuk and who else was? Oh, Taylor Hall doing a workout with their wife, girlfriends, and whatnot. And then you see guys like Connor McDavid doing workouts with their dog. So I'm asking you, for your workout, for your free weight, what do you do? Dogs or kids slash girlfriends? Wife, family member, this or that. The dogs or the human?
Can you ask me that question again?
Okay, when you work out, what do you... Hey, listen, this is a PG-13 type show, okay? When you work out, what do you use for free weight? Dogs or humans? This or that?
I'm going to go with...
Is it really that hard, Rip? What's the dilemma? Is the dilemma telling the truth or lying?
I'm going to go with my dog.
Okay, good. I would go with my dog too. And you've seen my dog, Rivs, here. She is with me. She's like 5 pounds. So that's why my workouts would be great. Petey, I don't even want to know. I want to go back and really
take my option on this one.
I want to go back and listen to exactly how I phrased that to make sure that it was appropriate for radio this morning. But anyway, that was this or that. We have to take a break because when we come back...
Your phrasing was perfect.
Okay.
Rib's gutter brain is what throws everything sideways. Carry on, my wayward son.
We got to take a break. We have the update coming up here. We're going to talk about the second week of Sabres Classics coming up next week with the 05-06 season. And Darren Dreger at 11:30. Obviously, some news about the NHL draft, the combine. Everything's been canceled. And when could they possibly be playing again? So here's a break on the Instigator on WGR 550.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.